reason I'm so tired is because the last three nights, I have gotten very little sleep. It was Thursday night, yes. Kathy had a test she had to undergo, and she was up and down all Thursday night, and I couldn't sleep very good, and we had to get up early in the morning and stuff, and she was up, so I got more sleep than you did, I will admit that freely, but I probably maybe got 3, maybe 4 hours sleep that night at the most. And then Friday afternoon, Chet Pugh called and asked if I would go with him on a run to Iowa to go catch some really nasty cows that had gotten out. And I said, sure. And then he told me that it was like an hour and a half south of Des Moines. And so we had to leave at 2 o'clock, before 2 o'clock, to get there at sunrise to do everything. And so I had to get up at like 12:30 on Saturday morning to head down. And then we had a game and I couldn't get sleep. And so I got to sleep about 11 o'clock on Friday night. See, I can't even keep it straight. So I got about 2.5 hours sleep Friday night. And then I really thought that we'd have the job done by noon and head home, but that did not happen. We didn't get it done. We never did get it done. We didn't leave this place until almost 7:45 last night. 4-hour drive home for me total. And I thought, this is okay, because I'll sleep on the way home, because I'll just sit in the back seat of the truck and I'll sleep. Well, that wasn't part of the plan, because the throwout bearing in his clutch started going out. And it sounded like there was a woman underneath the truck going, "Aah!" all the way home. It was at a pitch that the dogs that are hooked onto the back that he uses were like howling along with the noise all the way home. I don't know how they have any voice left, because they were like, "Oh!" all the way home. So there was no sleeping last night either. So I am very sleepy at this moment. That's exactly how it sounded. So what's that have to do with the will of God? I'll just tell you, yesterday when we were chasing these cows and doing this stuff, I was wondering why in the world I was there, because I did not do a single thing right yesterday. When we were trying to chase these cows, I was always in the wrong spot at the wrong time. I was out of the chase. Every single cow that the dogs got up, I was worthless yesterday. I basically rode around on my horse all day long for 9 or 10 hours almost, doing nothing. I couldn't catch a track. I couldn't find anything. I was just like, why in the world did I come and do this? It wasn't till noon at lunch where these guys said, "Hey, we'll come feed you lunch. You guys have been working hard. Come to our little shop, our little place, and we'll feed you lunch and stuff." And so we go in this lunchroom, and I'm thinking it's just going to be us and a couple other guys. It turned out to be like 15 different guys just kept coming in and eating lunch and stuff. And of course they found out, because they always ask the question, "So is this what you do for a living?" And I say, "No." And I try to avoid the question for their sake, to be real honest with you, because they speak freely before they know who I am. And after they know who I am, then it gets very different. You know what I'm saying? And so for their sake, I kind of avoid it. But finally they push the issue and say, "So what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And of course, everything changed at that moment. And it was really cool, because all of a sudden, these 15 guys who were nice guys, but they were rough. All of a sudden, they had all these questions about God. One guy actually bought a Catholic church, because the Catholic church was going to close down this little country church. And he bought it and fixed it up. And he's really happy to do it. And he couldn't understand why all these different questions. And then that led into this question, that I need to start carrying my NIV study Bible with me on my horse, is what I really need to do, because we had an amazing Bible study right there in this little lunch room. And when I got done, I was like, "Oh, okay, so I didn't catch a single cow. I didn't even lift my rope yesterday to swing it, but he had other plans for me." And so it was an awesome day, and it was worthwhile. But that's God's will. If we submit ourselves to what we believe he's calling us to do, he will use us. Because honestly, I really wanted to stick around and play softball. That's kind of what was in my heart, because we had so much fun Friday night. I wanted to play with the guys, and I wanted to be a witness in our community and all these different things. But you know what? God, he's created a great witness in our team without me. And so that was covered in Walnut yesterday, and he had other plans for me. And I'm happy to do that. It was awesome. And it's all about God's will. So what is God's will for our life? What is he wanting us to do? Here we go. We're getting into this series, and we're going to take the most basic part. Wow, and I'm going to do it really quickly. We're going to take the most basic part of God's will for your life right at the very beginning, because this is essential. Without this, the rest of your life is meaningless. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Without this part of God's will in your life, the rest of your life is meaningless. It has no meaning. It really has no great value without this. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6. And this is a really neat little thing. Jesus got done walking on the water, and he fed the 5,000, I believe it was. Yes, the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves and things like that. And he walks across the water. And when he gets on the other side, they're asking, what must we do to the works of God? This is John chapter 6, being verse 28. And Jesus says, the work of God is this. And you might think this is where we're at. The work of God is this, is to believe in the one who he has sent. Okay? That's what the work of God is. That's what he wants us to do, to believe in the one who he sent. And who is that? Jesus. You guys are tracking. You're awake. I'm not. It says in verse 30, so they asked him, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from earth and gives life to the world. Verse 34, they said, Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread, which kind of really shows their motivation for following him, because they just got done being fed the fish and loaves, and they're thinking, hey, we got a free meal ticket. This guy is going to take care of us. All we got to do is follow him, and our bellies are going to be full, is really what the motivation for this whole conversation is all about. Okay? But Jesus is going to flip it on him. All right? Then Jesus declared, he says, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. That was God, or Jesus' mission. Not to do his will, but to do the will of God who sent him. And this is the will of him who sent me. Ooh, this is starting to get interesting, isn't it? This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. Now, I'm going to stop right there real quick, because that's an important passage. And I don't want to just skim over. I just want to give you something real quick. What Jesus is saying is all that who believe in him, who put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit in their lives, that they cannot walk away. That's a passage that really gets me as a pastor deeply. And some of you think I'm a little bit nutty, but it hurts when I see someone walking away from the church, from their faith, when something comes into their life that shakes them to the very core of who they are and makes them start to doubt. That's why a lot of the time that I spend as a pastor is trying to get a hold of those people. Because not ones that have just left this church or have gone out. There's thousands, if not millions of them right now in the world that in some way have turned their back on God. And you know what? That is a very scary thing for me, because God says that he will lose none that are his. And we need to make sure that they understand God's love is sufficient for whatever problem they're going through, no matter what type of relational thing, whatever tragedy may have come into their life, that God is in control and that we can trust him with that. And if we can't, if we find ourselves turning our back on God, I understand getting upset with the church. I get that. The church is filled with flawed, goofy, idiotic, dumb people. And I'm talking about you and me. It's filled with us. And we're going to have problems, but the thing is, it's a place that we're coming to practice forgiveness with one another. That's what it's about. And we got to be reminded of that. But that's not the will, the special will of God that I want to talk about this morning. It's in the very next sentence. It says, for my Father's will, here it is. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. God's foundational, remember I talked about God's will, and it kind of comes in foundational levels. At the very bottom, I believe, of God's will for our lives is that we will come into a saving grace of Jesus Christ. That is like the bottom. That's what he needs. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. That's his will. As a matter of fact, there's several different passages that says that exact same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3 says it very plainly, verse 9. It says, but do not forget this one thing, this is verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some is understanding slowness, but he is patient with you. Listen to what it says, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. I'm going to go back to verse 1. It says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men, verse 4, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that man is who? Jesus Christ. See, God, more than anything else, wants us to come to the knowledge and to the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God wants every one of us to come into a saving relationship with Him. Why? Why is that the foundation of God's will for our life? And if we're skipping that one thing, we're missing the whole point of life. Remember what I said? If you miss this one, your life is really meaningless. It's pretty much worthless because you were created for a reason. The reason that God created you, and I can't remember exactly where this is at. I don't know if I have it right in my notes, but I think it's in Philippians 2:13. Let's take a look. Philippians 2:13 says, therefore, my dear friends, this isn't it, but because it's on the wrong spot in the page. That's the only reason I know. But it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now also in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. There's another passage, I can't remember where it's at right now, but it says, for God, oh, wow, mind. It just went like blank. It says, prepared in advance for you to do. What? Isn't that scary? That's exactly the one I was looking for. Ephesians 2:10, do you want to say it again? I'll read it. You closed it, I saw. He said, I did my part, now you do yours, brother, right? Ephesians 2:10. Honestly, this is one of the reasons I love this church. I do, because there are spirit-filled people here who are listening and tracking and know the Word of God, and they're not afraid to say, hey, this is what it says. Ephesians 2:10, and there it is in the right spot on the page right here in the bottom right-hand section of my page right there. It says, this is what she said, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. This is why he created us. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The reason it is foundational that we have that relationship with Jesus Christ is because God has a plan for us and he has prepared good works for us to do so that our lives would bring glory to his name. And we can't do it on our own. You can't preach. You can do it, but it's not going to be very effective if you're preaching on your own. You can't sing to God's glory if you're doing it for yourself. You know what, one of the things that gets me a little bit about some of the songs and some of the things they do, sometimes I think it's more about the person who's singing the song. That's why I kind of struggle with concerts a little bit. My fingers are going, aren't they? That's why I struggle with concerts a little bit, because it seems like all the people are going to the concert to see the singer, and they're excited about the singer rather than the songs. And that bothers me just a little bit. And I know it has to be really hard, Nathan. I know you're really famous and stuff like that. But I know it's got to be really hard to get people to take their eyes off of you when you're leading songs, because I know the heart of those people is to bring glory to God, but it's so hard to get people to take their eyes off the singer and put their eyes on Christ. Ah, that's the hardest part. And it's the same thing with every one of our ministries. You see, all that we do, I don't want anyone looking at Eldon. I want people to see that I'm being used by God for His glory, because I've got nothing. I have nothing in my life that's worthy of any praise except the Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. That's what brings glory into my life. That's what brings me praise, because I can praise God. I can give Him glory with my life. But you can't do that. Can't do that if you haven't come to that foundational trust in Jesus, to believe in Him. You can do amazing things, but without Christ and that Holy Spirit dwelling in you, they are meaningless. And the reason I say that is because at the end of days, when you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all the amazing things you might have done are going to be like filthy rags before God. The only thing that will stand, the only thing that you are going to be, that's going to matter, is the blood of Jesus covering your sin, making you a new creation. That's it. That's it. That's the will of God for you. At the foundational level, is that you would believe. That you would see and know and put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, don't think that you're going to get struck with some great revelation about what the next step in your relationship with this person is, or what next job I should be going to, or all these different things. You know what? At the foundational part, in order for God to work in your life, because it's God who works out His good purpose in you. It's not you working the good purpose for God. It's God who works in you His good purpose. You can't do it on your own. And you got to get this body clean so that He can work in you. That's His will. That's the beginning. I'm done.